Welcome back to the Steve Gruber Show. Good to have you along for the conversation. It is remarkable to me that so many people that are economically illiterate, I mean, they are in charge of proposals and spend and ideas that would put America into bankruptcy. We've just learned here in the last few days that GDP for the third quarter went up a paltry 2%. 2%. That's pathetic. The cost of Thanksgiving this year will be more expensive than at any time in the history of the holiday, ever. It's not just the turkey. It's the pan that it's being cooked in. It's not just the cranberry sauce. It's the steel can that it comes in. Everything is going through the roof while the Democrats are scheming constantly to spend more money. Joining me to discuss it in more detail, Maya McGinnis, the president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. Maya, good to have you back.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
You know, I really am appalled. People that are economically, financially illiterate are the ones in charge of trying to spend money, and they're playing games. No matter what ends up getting passed, ultimately, the game is, well, we'll put a deadline up. We'll only fund this program for a year. When they know full well that's not true, for example, the child earned income tax credit that gets paid monthly now, just that one item, Maya, $1.3 trillion over 10 years. Oh, but we're only going to have it for a year. I know that they'll try to renew it year after year. And if they don't, they'll try to blame Republicans for being anti-family or some other such rot. Where would you like to begin?
Where I'd like to begin is how badly we do budgeting. So you are absolutely right that they are playing just terrible, really reckless games with this entire massive package. And let's start with a very critical point. We don't have a budget in place. This country has been going for months and months, and it's entered the new fiscal year with no budget in place. And yet we're talking about spending many trillions of dollars that are new and actually covering up those costs by pretending, like you just said, that some of these policies will be short-term to bring down the cost on paper, but with the full intention of extending them. And the point is, we're not willing to pay for them today, so we're going to pretend someone will pay for them tomorrow. Not credible.
It's not credible, not at all. One of the things in there, child care, right? This is one of their big selling points. Child care is a far-left group of progressives looked at this. They said it will increase the cost of child care to $13,000 a year per child if this federal program goes in because everybody will raise their prices. Oh, the federal government's paying for it? No problem. We're going to crank up the prices, meaning the taxpayers are going to get shafted again. I mean, that's just one easy example, isn't it?
There's actually so many examples of this kind of policymaking. So, listen, there are a lot of things that are out there that people would like the costs to be cheaper for. Education, healthcare, housing, child care. Makes sense. But if you craft policies in the wrong way, you actually drive those costs up further. And it does look like from the design of this bill, that's what will happen. On one hand, there's actually going to be requirements where you push up the wages of workers and limit the amount that people can pay. That removes them from the growing costs. More of that shifted onto the government. Some people call that free, but what that really means is the taxpayers will have to pay more of that either today or in the future, growing the debt all along. So yes, the design of the policy is really important. And I'm worried that a lot of these policies are being rushed through without any consideration to what good design would look like.
Well, they haven't even been written yet. They're rushing through to spend a number. They haven't even written the policies.
Exactly.
You're exactly right. Maya McGinnis here with me. I mean, how do you know what the hell you're spending money on if it's not even written?
No, there's this huge fight, and the fight is really about, I want to spend trillions more than you do to kind of show that I'm a good, caring person, and because you believe it's a political winner. The disagreements or the design should be about the detail. Let's have a discussion about how you best achieve helping working families. What are all the options to do it? What would work the most? What's the most efficient? Are we willing to pay for it? But this has been I want to spend $2 trillion, which, by the way, used to be a massive number. I'm going to outshow you. I want to spend $5 trillion. And that's not how you do policy. People are likely to be voting on things without knowing anything about how they would actually work. And that is how you have bad policies with unintended consequences, not even counting the big, big price tag that's growing of this.
Well, exactly right. Maya McGinnis with us here today, president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget. You have to prioritize what you want out of your budget. And what they're doing, to me, is trying to buy votes, but it seems like it's being rejected. First of all, everybody is impacted, like I talked about at the top of the segment, the cost of Thanksgiving through the roof. GDP at a meager 2%. That is pathetic. We're coming out of the pandemic. You've got 80,000 truck drivers that are absent from the job. Where did they all go? I don't know, but I can tell you where they're not. They're not here. They're not ready to drive today. And so we have these, you know, these systemic problems in the economy right now that are being exacerbated. Plus, you've got these mandates being forced out where you've got ambulance drivers, firefighters, police officers, doctors, nurses, and everybody else that are either going to be forced to quit or be fired from their jobs at a time we can least afford it. Just one bad policy after another seem to be compounding each other. What do you say to that?
Well, I'll focus particularly on the inflation, because what happened was we rightly borrowed trillions of dollars to fight COVID. But once things were starting to improve and the economy was stronger, we still flooded the economy with more money than was needed. And that was predicted to lead to inflation, and it has. And so the problem with that is when you have to fight inflation, you can't stand back and ignore it, because if you lose the battle early on, it becomes very, very painful. And so the measures you need to take to deal with inflation can harm the economy, and you get yourself in a very difficult cycle. I'm worried about that happening just at a time when we want the recovery to stick. And so that means that spending extra money, and particularly borrowing to do so, has to be thought of in the framework of inflation has taken off, growth is not what we hope it would be. You have to square all of these issues, and I don't think the design of what we're talking about is taking that into consideration.
Yeah. These are just problems and issues that we have to stop this where it is. And I don't know how that happens, because we're hearing that, you know, those that have stood in the gap are not going to stand there much longer, being Manchin or Sinema or whomever it may be on the Democrat side, may cave in and make it look as, again, it's an optical illusion. Well, it's only $1.75 trillion, but here's the problem. The American Rescue Plan was $1.9 trillion, and it was an emergency, Maya. Such an emergency that you don't even have to have a plan to spend your portion of the money as a city or state until 2024. Such an emergency, yeah. Maya, you don't even have to spend the money until 2026. I mean, this is just absurd.
Yeah, well, I pore over the Congressional Budget Office scores of these things, and that's exactly right. That when I saw a bunch of these dollars were going to be spent after the emergency was over, there's no defense of designing policies like that.
There's no emergency. It's not. It's an emergency if you can't pay your rent this month. It's an emergency if you can't make your mortgage payment this month. It's not an emergency if you might not be able to pay it 4 years from now.
Or you're going to give states or school systems lots of money that they can spend over years well past the emergency. Fingers crossed. Let's hope we'll pass it. But 100%. Let me take a step back and say, here's where we are in the country. The debt is at near record levels. It's growing as a share of the economy. We do not have the will, and I say this is for all both political parties, we do not have the will to take the hard measures we need to bring that debt back down. That means not spending new money. That means not cutting new taxes. That means figuring out how to pay for the government we already have, either by raising taxes
That's
or
right.
shrinking the government. No
that
one's talking about that.
Doing the job they're elected to do. Yeah, they need to do the job they're elected to do. I have to leave it right there, Maya.
Let's hope we see that sometime soon. I'm concerned.
Maya McGinnis, thank you for being here. Thank you so much. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
Bye-bye.
You might be wondering, what's Enbridge doing to keep up with the energy demands of tomorrow? As a bridge to the energy future, we're helping drive the change toward lower carbon and renewable energy sources. That's why we're modernizing our infrastructure to be more efficient and reliable, and why we're investing in energy sources like wind and solar. We are Enbridge, a leading North American energy infrastructure company, and we believe when our energy meets yours, the future is full of promise. Enbridge, life takes energy.
You see it in the headlines every day. The price of everything is going up, and nothing's going up faster than the cost of energy. What if your heating and cooling bill doubled or tripled? What would that mean to you and your family? For most people, it would be devastating. It's time you learned about WellConnect. With WellConnect, you might be able to cut your utility costs by hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars a year. And if you already have a well in the yard, you already have the key piece of equipment for a 100% renewable energy source. That's right, your well can be the heart of a WellConnect hybrid geothermal system. WellConnect is a Michigan-made solution to cutting your utility bills. In the last year alone, WellConnect reduced propane consumption by 1 million gallons. saving Michigan homeowners over $1 million. Why gamble on the price of energy? Get connected to WellConnect. Right now, you can still qualify for a 26% federal tax credit and utility rebates, but they won't be here forever. Find out more right now. Visit WellConnectSaves.com, WellConnectSaves.com, or call 989-356-2113. WellConnect.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce.
Michigan has been through some tough times. We've seen businesses close, unemployment soar, and the economy take a heavy hit. But through these struggles, we've been given the opportunity to rethink, retool, and reimagine. It's through strength and determination, drive and focus, that we will be back, and we will bring Michigan back. We are the Michigan Chamber, and we stand ready to fight for Michigan.
To learn more about the Michigan Chamber and how to become a member, visit michamber.com.